You are a 16-year-old girl just starting a brand new school.
Oh God, finally.
The one that your parents went to. You're all big-eyed and hopeful, determined to prove to your parents that you're worthy of following in their footsteps.
I'm not sure I am.
You want to make Mama and Papa proud.
Yeah, I do.
You're on a journey of self-discovery.
Yeah, I am.
The world's a new and exciting place, bud.
Yeah, it is.
You're no longer vegetarian because a primal cannibalistic urge has been awakened within you, and it may be a genetic, but it may not be.
Huh?
But also, you've got a crush on your openly gay roommate, which is problematic. But let's see how that turns out in 2016's Raw! Oh. I'm Ben Groves.
I'm Rob McFarlane.
And welcome to the Every Movie Ever Podcast!
That's right, today, buddy, we're getting into Julia de Kernow's feature debut Raw. But before we get into that, let's ask the most important question. How are you doing, babe?
I'm good, man. Yeah, I'm good.
I've been
working on myself a little bit, feeling good for it.
Nice. Oh, that's great news.
How about you, man?
I'm doing really good, thanks, man. I was on probation at my new job. They've taken me off probation. I'm a full-time...
What?
Yeah.
But it's not been 6 months.
It's not been 6 months. I'm just so sick of what I do, Ben.
I think it's been 2 months.
It's been 2 months.
That's not 6 months, silly.
It's not 6 months. And they're like, oh, welcome to the team. You're stuck with us now. And then I just posted that little gif from Zack Snyder's Watchmen with Rorschach going, you're not stuck in here with you. You're locked in here with me.
Yeah.
And now I'm just going to ride that line like it owes me money.
Brilliant. They've accepted you into a job and you've immediately Watchmen'd them and they've gone, shit.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to start putting Joker posters all over the office.
100%. We live in a society.
Oh, fuck off. Right, that's enough. So... let's sum up the show a little bit, shall we? Today we're going to be getting into why Raw? Why cannibalism now?
Is this a feminist movie or is it something deeper than that? Is this just a human movie?
What's the deal with animals in horror movies?
What's up with them? Why are they there? I don't like that. I don't like it either.
I've got some stuff for
you.
And
why body horror?
Why is Julia de Kernow? I'm leaning into it. I know I've butchered it.
Yeah, we both are.
Oh, fuck you. It's done now.
Yep.
Why is Julia de Kernow my new hero?
And most importantly, what does this all mean?
What's it really mean?
What's it mean?
What's it mean?
Now, for new listeners, this is where, just before we have an emotional breakdown, we like to have a little plot breakdown. Because what we do is we talk about older films and we talk about what they mean. It's very difficult to dissect the meaning of a film without letting everybody in on what happens in it.
Yeah, of course.
So if you've not seen this film and you're planning to, pause the show.
Go watch it. Yeah.
Come back. It's all good.
Please do come back.
If you're one of those few people that is desperate to see this and hasn't yet. Most of you have either seen it and need a quick refresher or are never planning to see it. And so Ben has written a little plot breakdown before we have an emotional one.
I have. And I've kept it as straight as possible because this film, it fucks me up on multiple levels. I'm going to get into it shortly. But this film is insane for so many reasons. I've kept it straight to the point as I can. If you haven't seen it, please go and watch it because it deserves attention and it deserves to be spoken about more.
Okay. I mean, you say straight to the point as possible. I'm looking at a wall of text that...
It's three paragraphs. You're sounding like me now.
They're long paragraphs,
Ben.
They're
not. We're getting into it. Come on, you do the first one.
Justine, a shy and brilliant 16-year-old girl, arrives at a prestigious veterinary school in France, following the footsteps of her parents and her older sister, Alexia. Raised as a strict vegetarian, Justine is shocked by the intense hazing rituals at the school, which pissed me right off, to be if I'm honest, which include being doused in blood and forced to eat a raw rabbit kidney. Despite her protests, Justine complies and eats the rabbit kidney, marking the beginning of her disturbing transformation. Soon after consuming the raw rabbit organ...
right.
I want a rabbit organ now. It's just rabbits all laid out like
a keyboard.
It gave
me a sick mental image and I was like, I need to share it.
Justine begins experiencing bizarre symptoms. Skin rashes, insatiable hunger, an overwhelming craving she can't explain, otherwise known as puberty, but we'll get to that. These symptoms escalate rapidly, leading her to secretly eat raw meat in the dead of night and even her own hair.
Ugh.
That's a scene that I would like to talk about later.
We can.
But also not like to ever talk about ever again.
Yep.
Her body and her behavior begin to change, hinting that something primal and uncontrollable has been awakened inside her. You don't have to make it sexy at the end. She's like 16, Ben.
I didn't know you were going to read it like a fucking 0800 number. That's on you, bud. That's not me. Justine's strange new cravings intensify as she grows more erratic and alienated. Her relationship with her openly gay roommate, Adrienne, becomes increasingly complex, a source of tension, attraction, and confusion. Justine begins to give in to her urges more fully, culminating in a gruesome incident where she bites off part of a guy's lip at a party makeout session. Her sister Alexia, who has been distant and unpredictable this whole time, reveals that she shares the same cannibalistic cravings in a twisted bonding moment. Alexia teaches Justine how to cope with her hunger by turning people into roadkill. However, their relationship deteriorates as it becomes clear that Alexia has embraced her nature far more deeply and dangerously than Justine ever wants to. The sisters fight violently, both physically and morally.
They do indeed. One day, Justine awakens next to Adrienne's dead body.
Aww.
Brutally mutilated and partially eaten.
Womp, womp.
We've all had mornings like that. She is horrified to discover Alexia is responsible. Rather than retaliate emotionally, Justine cleans Alexia up and turns her into the police, landing Alexia in jail. Returning home with her parents, Justine's father reveals his brutally scarred chest and tells Justine how her mother is also a cannibal, hinting that this may be a trait that has been genetically passed down. Justine's father then posits that maybe she will find the solution that her parents could not. Generational trauma.
Passing down from one person to the next.
It's what made us who we are, Ben.
Yeah. That was our advert for it. It's a super fun thing. So I'm going to dive in straight away.
Can you imagine late night adverts?
Yeah, it'd be mint.
Are you having too good a life? Try generational trauma.
Oh.
Nothing bad has happened to you, but you've inherited coping mechanisms from people who bad things did happen to.
I think that's too enthusiastic there, buddy.
Right.
You need to do it like an old 80s cassette thing.
Generational trauma.
Yeah. Generational trauma. Greatest hits coming your way. Were you ever yelled at as a child?
Featuring wearing one headphone.
There you go, right? Where are those velvet cushions? Mama's arguing again.
Sneak into the kitchen at night to eat more food.
This is fun. I don't like this joke as much.
It's because it's alive.
So, why Raw? Why this film? Why cannibalism now? This is going to be... I'm starting this episode a little differently. This is just conjecture corner. I need to get some stuff off my chest. I need to get into it because this film...
It shocks me.
Has hit me.
That you are leading with conjecture.
Mm-hmm.
You are normally the man who brings the rational...
Oh, I'm sorry. Research. Do you want me to tie in some fucking French philosophy into this bullshit?
I think you have.
I have. I'm going to get into it.
I was going to say, there's a little bit on our notes earlier here. It says French philosophy. I was like... All right, we'll see how that goes.
I've spent 40 quid on books.
Jesus Christ.
They're not here. It's not in time for the research of the show. It's now just, it's in me.
Okay,
a cannibalistic, raw, primal instinct has awakened in me, and now I need to feed it. It just turns out that instead of human flesh, it's fucking French philosophy. All right?
Nice. Okay.
And I'm diving into it.
Okay, diving.
Right. This is possibly one of my favorite films of the last 10 years.
Fuck off.
Without a doubt. Hands down, one of the best horror movies I've seen in the last 10 years.
Okay, that's wild
and
wrong, but obviously, it's
for
you.
For you, it's wrong. That's fine.
For
and
you,
I get
obviously,
it.
You're like, this is a fantastic film.
It is.
I didn't bond with it.
That's fine.
But I couldn't point at anything it does wrong.
Exactly.
And I can, everything you're going to say about this being the best film you've seen ever...
Mm-hmm.
I can see that there's stuff there.
Yeah, 100%.
But I'm interested into
But the why?
The why, right?
Okay. Well, first off, this film is fucking visceral.
Yes.
And by this, I mean it's one of those films that's done in such a masterful way that it challenges everything. It forces you to become involved, whether you know it or not, but deep down you feel it. Cannibalism is one of these taboos. It's one of the final taboos in film that are like, they're always fascinating, but they rarely do well.
Yeah, just ask Armie Hammer.
Right?
Right.
He knows where I'm coming from. Armie, this one's for you, buddy.
Armie sat there just nodding, going,
honestly,
yeah, damn fucking right.
I've had to stop taking his calls because he's doing it on a whole different level.
For those of you that don't know, he was done for texting women a bunch of incredibly viscerally graphic cannibalism sex fantasies.
Yeah, I want to eat you, career. But not like in the pussy way, more like in the...
I'm going to cut your stomach open and pull your intestines out. And
wow, that's way more.
Down.
I was going to say forearm, but no, fucking hell, someone's been thinking about this.
He was into it, which is why when those texts became public, he lost his career. That was the joke. What? Please continue.
Got you. So it's one of these taboos, the last taboos in film. They do shit normally.
Yeah.
But there's a shitload of them, right? They tend to live in like a weird infamous bubble. Rather than gaining any sort of like traction or being accepted.
The cannibalism movies that I've known of before.
Yeah.
Cannibal Holocaust, all this kind of thing.
Sure.
Tend to have a lot of unsimulated animal butchery going on.
They do. I'm going to get into the animal butchery in a little bit.
And they tend to have the cannibalism presented by a group of people who are seen as less civilized. And it can be sometimes a little bit race baity. A little bit tribal,
okay,
and a little bit like, oh no, they really did that to that dog or whatever. And I'm just like, I'm all right.
I understand you completely. I'm going to get into all of this, bud.
Great.
I'm going to get into all of it. So you just brought up Cannibal Holocaust.
Yeah.
Good movie.
I've never seen it.
Okay.
Never appealed.
We're going to do it.
I'm
going to bring it to the table.
Okay.
I've got the special edition on Blu-ray.
All right.
From Shameless Media.
For regular listeners, know that the day you see Cannibal Holocaust as the episode, I've had a horrible time. Because
it's not
the last thing
week.
I want to watch.
It's not going to be a fun week. But it's going to be there, right? So you've got Cannibal Holocaust. But Green Inferno is another good example. The Eli Roth movie.
Okay. Again, skip his movies because this is not my vibe.
But they're both great films. They're really, really tough watches, but they've got an edge. They've got an edge to them that most other horror movies have lost over time, right? It's this unknown. It's the mystery. Because horror movies nowadays are so rife with special effects of like gruesome murders, abuse, torture, body disfigurement, home invasions.
Yeah.
We're used to it. We can see it all day long. We can sit there and just treat it like it's
you can't even watch a nice little British folk horror about the Green Man without there being viscera involved, right?
Viscera, a brutal home invasion. Yeah. There's fucking gore everywhere. This is... How easy is it to see a decapitation in cinema these days? I'm going to tell you. Here's 15 movies that all feature decapitation. Hereditary, Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer, Friday the 13th, Parts 1, 5, and 8. Evil Dead 2, Reanimator, My Bloody Valentine, Wrong Turn, who kind of copied My Bloody Valentine, but that's a different thing. The Omen, Thanksgiving, Dawn of the Dead, Hatchet 2, I Saw the Devil, Bay of Blood. Is that too many horror films for you? Well, how about some sci-fis? The Thing, The Brain That Wouldn't Die, Scanners. My point is, right?
Right.
My point is...
I mean, before you lose your head,
calm down. Oh, there he is. That deserves a weenie. Would you like a weenie?
The corner shop, £1 patch of...
You've earned a weenie.
I've described them as the advent calendar chocolate of meat.
Yeah.
They are...
You've earned that, mate. Enjoy it. So my point is, we as an audience, we're so used to this. Yeah, it's gory.
Mm-hmm.
It's not pleasant, but it's familiar.
Yeah.
It's a comfort zone that we've all been there before. We all know what's coming, right? We have, over the last 30 years, had a tendency to go bigger, bloodier, and closer when it comes to body horror, right? So we're getting more involved. We're seeing more of the fucking muscles being torn from bones. There's fucking hundreds of cannibal movies out there. In my notes here, I've written thousands. This is just a stream of consciousness. Right. I've written thousands, probably, and then dot, dot, dot. Okay, not thousands. IMDb has about 550 movies with the keyword cannibalism tied to it.
I think people have feasted on their ears enough with lists of films.
You know what I mean? There's no more lists.
Okay. I thought you were about to list cannibalism
movies. All 550 of them. Yeah. And that's the episode. See you later, guys.
it's experimental podcasting.
But again, you see my point, right?
I do.
There's not even that much real life documentary material on cannibalism, right? There's true crime, which is through the fucking roof.
There is.
There's every day a new murder documentary drops on Netflix and every white woman on the planet will be able to stomach it whilst prepping their overnight oats, sipping on a pumpkin spice latte.
It's that meme, isn't it? Her legs were cut off. Her arms were cut off. Her ears were cut off. Her tongue was cut off.
Like... And they're just sitting there like fucking chopping blueberries. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, what are we doing? I want to show me the white women prepping the overnight oats whilst watching Green Inferno and being sort of like, silly. I've been on a solo healing journey for about a year now. I think I'm ready.
It feels like, given the number of times you said white women with a frown on your face, that you've gone too far down the solo route.
Go look at every single...
You're sounding like a very intelligent man right now, Ben.
Go look at every single true crime podcast or true crime documentary that's out there.
Look, you're not wrong, but it's not polite to point it out.
I'm sorry, all right? Let's all not fucking look at the diversity of every fucking murder documentary that's out there. All right, yeah, my bad. That is my fault. Raw. It has this really delicate but deliberate way of unlocking this fucking like curiosity. Mm-hmm. It's like a deep-seated curiosity that like every human has, right? And I personally found myself changing fundamentally with this movie. It unlocked like a weird thing, man. There's like a weird thing's been unlocked. It's not like a cannibalistic thing, but it had me freaking out a little bit, right?
Right.
There's a few scenes in this movie where Justine is finding herself, let's say. She's becoming like self-aware. She's figuring out what she is, who she is, what she's into,
yeah,
what she's not.
It's that kind of journey of self-discovery that every teenager does, right?
Yeah, she's having an awakening. It's not just a sexual one. The, you know, there is elements of that in the film.
It's an identity awakening.
It's an identity
I'm
awakening.
I'm on my own now. I'm not living with my parents.
This is it.
Who am I when I'm not part of a family unit?
I think it goes deeper than that. It's more like it's like a fucking body awakening. She's figuring out that I've been raised as a vegetarian and this, mm-hmm, that and the other, but also I might pocket a hamburger from the bottom.
Pocket meat.
Like a fucking psychopath.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, she accepts her hunger for meat, for raw flesh and for human flesh, right?
Right.
So all this is going on. She's actively shunned her years of being a vegetarian. Some of these scenes span Justine biting herself and other people during intimate moments, or like eating her sister's freshly amputated finger.
Yeah.
All this shit, and then casually saying shit like, you taste like curry, after eating her sister's finger.
There's a bunch of...
You know what I mean?
There's a bunch of like proto-sexual, like the dog keeps trying to lick her out. She puts her sister's finger in her. There's a ton of this stuff going on. Perversely...
There is.
Like controversial imagery that very just taboo. Goes, oh, maybe, and then immediately disappears.
Old boy is taboo. Because of the incest that it's in there, right?
Old Boy is a film with 1,000 merits that I love.
100%.
And Old Boy goes the full way. What's clever about this film is it just flashes a few frames.
Yeah, yeah.
Gets you worried.
Yeah, of course.
And it's not part of the plot. It's just enough there to get you in that headspace of like, oh shit, is that where that's going to go?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Right? This does a similar thing with the incest stuff. The sister shower together.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
Piss
it's
standing
exactly
up
that.
Together. They it, do the whole thing.
It's exactly that. It's just enough to get you worried.
Yeah.
But not enough to actually be the thing that it makes you worry about.
But that finger scene, buddy, where obviously her sister, Alexia, accidentally cuts off her middle finger with a pair of scissors whilst yeah. trying to bikini wax yeah. Justine, right?
Yeah.
She passes out.
Yeah.
Justine grabs the finger and starts fucking nibbling on it. And then before anything, she's like chomping down on her
she's
sister's
loving it.
Like
yeah.
fucking raw finger. It's disgusting. Anyway, that had me so fucked up. And I caught myself on my second watch through because I had the same reaction. I was biting my own hand.
Really?
In like a way to sort of be like, you know, when you like bite your
white knuckle
bite and you're like, ah. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm doing the same thing. Oh my God. She's making me do the thing. I don't like this. And it was like a subconscious thing, but that fucked me up. And I do this all the time. I like mimic shit that I see on the right. on the screen. And it's like a way of coping with it.
Yeah, okay.
But when it's a fucking cannibal and you're sitting, who's eating a finger and you're sitting there with your fucking hand in your mouth, there is a bond that's created that I did not like.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy that bond.
You bonded with her. I didn't.
I didn't want to. This is my point.
You are far closer to being a 16-year-old girl than I am. So there's less of a distance to travel.
Yeah, to be fair, I am vastly younger than you, to be fair.
Right. You're vastly younger.
Yeah.
You're vastly more feminine.
Yeah.
You're much more vulnerable.
Yeah, I'm into that.
And I just feel like you saw maybe not an idol, but something close.
One day I'll hit puberty, and if I handle it that well, hopefully I'll be in the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that scene, mate, like, I could have looked away, but I didn't, because I couldn't. There was a curiosity in me that I was
okay.
like, I have to see where this goes. I didn't like that about myself, but I was confronted with it.
Okay.
Was it by choice? No. No, it was not. This whole thing, right? Hold on one sec. TB lung. So dealing with the stress of this fucking finger scene, I'm biting my own hand, right?
Mm.
Not to the same extent that Justine is, obviously, but I'm sort of mimicking what she's done. Not only is this film about the body and the self and truly becoming and accepting who you are, it's also a very human, relatable sexual awakening, but it's presented in such a fucking subliminal manner that you as a viewer sympathize and change with the protagonist. And that, for the movie Raw, for the movie Raw from 2016 that we're watching right now, we're sitting there, we're shifting in our seats, we're moving because we're uncomfortable, we're doing this, that and the other. I was so aware of every part of my body.
Really?
For this entire film. And it's it happens every now and then. Like if I'm in the cinema and I'm like shifting my legs a lot, I'm like, why the fuck am I doing this? And I look up and I'm like, oh, not a fan of this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This one, this is such a subtle, delicate film compared to the shit that normally makes me squirm.
Yeah, normally you are the girl that needs to be hit with a brick just to get halfway there. Like, exactly. You're not a sensitive film viewer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, like, does this mean that I'm longing to be like the character that I'm seeing on the screen? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But I think there's a certain degree that we as an audience envy these people. I need to explain this before...
What I'm concerned about is literally the point I was about to make.
Okay.
Tell me yours. And okay. I'll show me yours and I'll show you mine.
So we as a human...
I'll pull out just enough to beat you.
Yeah, do it. We as a human will sympathize with these characters, right? We'll sympathize whether it's an alien, a vampire, a monster, a mutant, a cannibal.
Mm-hmm.
We can sympathize with these beings because they're filled with endless possibilities. They're not bound by our morality or our human experience. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
These beings live in a world without categories or labels. They just are what they are. And if that means that you're a cannibal who eats your sister's finger, you just are. And these guys just embody that, regardless of what happens around them. The context around these acts aren't human or sort of guided by our society. Do you know what I mean?
In this film, you're right. In this film, the consequences of almost everything that's displayed on screen are kind of minimal.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why, one of the reasons I didn't bomb with it as much.
Okay.
Because you know me, I love tiny actions with massive consequences.
You do.
This is massive actions with no consequences whatsoever, almost.
To an extent.
I mean, even simple things like the hazing culture at the university.
That's fucking stupid.
It just wouldn't exist.
I mean,
like, it wouldn't. Not to that degree.
Do you know what I mean? You did text me, but they're in France.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
No context on that. That's
the
just
French
on the
thing is because I dated a French and there is absolutely no way that there is a single vegetarian in that country.
Dated a French funniest thing you've ever said. That's fucking hilarious. That's a t-shirt. Dated a French.
Rob McFarlane. Dated a French.
Dated a French. Rob McFarlane.
There is absolutely... You cannot be vegetarian in France.
No.
They have no concept of it. You're like, can I have that one without meat? And they're like, oh yeah, ham's not meat. You're like, no, ham is meat.
Ham is a meat.
Ham is meat.
Yeah, would you like a sausage? It's not meat. Right. No, it's meat.
It is meat.
It's a meat.
So... The envy thing is another reason. So, a couple reasons I didn't bomb with it.
Mm-hmm.
Massive actions, tiny consequences.
Yeah.
Which you loved because it's that sense of freedom and acceptance. And like, oh, I guess I'm just a cannibal now.
Yeah.
Like, which is a lovely thing to imagine.
Yeah, you just.
But again, I'm me and I'm like, if I nibbled a bit of finger and someone saw me, that would be an existential.
Oh, you'd fold up immediately.
Right. That's the next 3 years of my
thinking
power.
Rob, I think if you dropped a fork on the floor, picked it up and someone saw you do it and then carry on eating your food, I'd fold up.
I'd fucking kill myself.
Yeah, you'd fold up like a paper crane.
I'd just immediately fucking kill myself.
You've got unreasonably high standards for someone that I know eats ass. Do you know what I mean? I can't drop a fork and let someone see me pick it up and carry on
Absolutely
eating.
Absolutely not.
Do you know what I mean?
The other reason there was a bit of envy or a bit of not bonding with it.
Yeah.
I've mentioned it before, but let me explain for new listeners.
Yeah.
Channel 4, one of the main television stations in the UK, had a show which had a lot of actors who went on to become huge. Nicholas Hoult, Dev Patel.
Is this Skins?
This is Skins.
Yeah, okay.
And Skins depicted like a uni college lifestyle.
In Bristol.
In Bristol, where they all left home.
Yeah.
And then in week one, they'd had like 8 or 9 shags by different people. They tried drugs
orgies,
for the first time.
Cocaine. Orgies, everyone's getting cocaine, shit-faced.
And everyone's having a great fucking time.
Yeah, everyone's loving it.
That wasn't my experience.
At uni in Bristol.
Yeah. College. And I really resented being given the expectation. Because I was like, let's fucking go.
Everyone
was like, I've actually got some work to do. And I've actually got a long distance boyfriend.
Yeah.
It's 9 o'clock. I've got to go to bed.
I've got a bone to pick you in this. Because you're selling this story like you rocked up to college and were just sort of like, fuck yeah, let's go. I met you in uni and I swear, I know this isn't true, but in my mind, it's 100% true. I met you wearing a blazer and you tried to do a magic trick for me. That's not true.
I didn't try and do a magic trick like for a magician. You, but I was definitely wearing a blazer. It's because I had no shoulders there. And so blazers, by the time the blazer comes off and she discovers that I am triangular, doesn't matter.
Yeah,
you're in the room now. The door's locked.
I'm not in here with you. You're locked in here with me.
Yeah, exactly.
That's an awful way to end that joke.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Right.
So when I saw this girl go to uni and have that, I was like, fuck, another one. Another one. Where was... Do you know what I mean? I'm just like, this isn't...
I get you.
This is just envy.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from with this. But like, so we have this whole thing, right?
Yeah.
I found myself quite envious of this person because, as I said earlier on, I've been going through a little bit of, you know, the whole growing experience. I've had a few moments where I'm like, ooh, I'm starting to realize who I am deep down, starting to deal with some stuff. I sat here and watched this 16-year-old girl in her first week of uni just become her true self and accept it. And I'm like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah, Ben, it's because it's not hard. You're the only one that's not done it.
See, you say this, and I was thinking that for a while, and now I'm starting to accept that it's not. But so anyway, I'm watching but it's the same in monster movies. We watch like Creature from the Black Lagoon. That guy just is.
Yeah.
And it's I'm jealous of that because I'm sat here and I've got to take a fucking seltzer for a heartburn and go to the post office before 3. She can run around and eat her sister's finger and everyone's like, genetic, mate.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I feel like this is interesting, that this is kind of exposing in you more of a sense. I've always known you as the guy that doesn't care what people think because that's what you've always claimed to be, right?
Sure.
And I've always been like, God, Ben doesn't give a shit. But it sounds like you've kind of, how can I explain this? I feel like the way we're educated is very much like you do this and then we will feed back on how well you've done.
Yeah.
And how close to conforming you are or how non-conforming you are. Like there'll be that feedback thing where you know where you are. And then we kind of leave that and we, you know, quite late in our early 20s. And then obviously early 20s for you and I was fucking carnage.
Yeah.
And then we've only really just now started going like, oh, okay, we've got the bandwidth to think about ourselves. And something that I'm beginning to realize is like, no one cares. There's no feedback.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
There's none.
Like, if you want to just be.
Yeah.
But again, even if you are just being, no one's going to be like, oh, well done, mate.
So this is
the
thing.
You're just being.
Yeah. This is it. This isn't what I'm jealous of at all. So like, when it comes to other people, I'm fine with other people thinking what they want. That's cool. It's none of my fucking business. Do you know what I mean? If whatever your thoughts are about me.
I care so much about what people think of me. It's insane.
There's no change. Do you know what I mean? I care what you think about me because I care about you desperately. Do you know what I mean?
Same. Likewise.
You're literally my closest friend. Have been for 2 decades.
Yeah.
I care immensely what you think about
me. Likewise.
If you were to turn around and say, I don't think this is a good idea, or I don't think you've done this right, I would fully respect that.
And do it anyway.
However, I would fully respect it and I would take it all on board and I would process it and I would really like lean into it and I would do my own thing. The only reason that I'm getting jealous of these characters, and I think this is why Creature Features hit me so hard, is I don't care what other people think, I care about what I think. And that's only just becoming apparent now where I'm actually starting to care about myself and start to learn to accept myself.
It's almost like you've only just got your life into such an arrangement where it's possible to respect yourself.
That is exactly where I'm coming from.
Right.
I look back at my past, I'm just sort of like, God, I got myself into some fucking shitty situations with people that did not give a fuck about me at all. And I'm like, it's my fault because I did not give a fuck about me at all either.
Yeah, no, because at that point, why would you? Because look at how you were behaving.
Exactly.
Look at how I was behaving.
Yeah,
it's like,
course.
Well, I don't care what I think because I run me and I'm a fucking idiot.
Yeah, I know me and I'm a dick.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Whereas now, being less of a dick, you're like, actually, I will go to bed early.
Yeah.
I deserve that.
Yeah. I think a regular sleep pattern would be nice. I might go to the doctors for that slight twinge in my back and it won't annoy them.
And it will turn out to be TB.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? That you love that way too much. I fucking hope that's TV.
Me too.
I fucking hope that's
too.
TV.
Do you know how much my inner Victorian poet magician is jealous that you're the one that got TB?
Yeah, loads.
It would be like me being the one that got a fucking condo in Miami.
Oh, are you saying that because I'm wearing a fucking yellow Hawaiian shirt right now?
That's unrelated.
Yeah, okay. So Teresa Rizzo, in her book, Deleuze and Film, A Feminist Introduction, says... Without a fixed notion of the human, there can be no fixed notion of the categories such as sexuality, gender, race, or ethnicity. It is not that these categories do not exist or that the politics associated with them cannot be solved in a purely conceptual way, but the parameters are not fixed in time.
I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
That sounded great.
Right.
Not much of it went in.
Right.
Can we do it again, but slower?
Let me finish it out and I'll explain it.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I'll explain it because it took a minute for me to get into it.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. This further implies that if the categories of male or female are unstable and open to change, then they cannot be set up as binary opposites. So this primal desire being hidden in this little horror movie and having it whispered in our ears so tentatively grips my entire fucking being on a whole other level.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, it's without the fixed notion of the human. So cannibals right. exist, vampires exist. You can be whatever it is that you are mm-hmm. without any of the surrounding categories or labels that go right, with it, okay. right? So when it comes to cannibalism in movies, the cannibal isn't subject to the same rules that we are.
Do
you see
okay.
what I'm saying?
Right,
so
okay.
obviously...
So without knowing what a human is, we can't know what a woman is.
Exactly.
And if a woman, if what a human is keeps changing, then how can we have two opposite genders?
Exactly. And relating to Raw, if a cannibal is a human but isn't bound by human laws or human rules, then how human yeah. are they? Do you know what I mean?
Okay, I see. I've never made that separation between humans and cannibals.
Right.
I've always been like, well, cannibals are just people that have right. got some kinky shit going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like it's built up to be this sort of like monster that's kind of like an unobtainable thing. Or it's like it's
yeah,
a distant...
but I'm just like, it's the same as, I don't know, the lesbians or the Christians.
It's really accepting of you for yeah. cannibals to just be sort of live your best life.
Just
you know what I mean?
Live your truth.
Let them get
you know?
Married.
Live, laugh, love. you know?
But this is the whole thing. That was from Gilles Deleuze. It's the French philosopher who wrote about philosophy, film, fine art, and literature from
fuck's
the 50s
man.
To 95.
What has happened, Ben?
I
what
ordered a book.
Are we swapping?
No.
I feel like, you know lava lamps?
Yeah.
When they're off and you've got the waxy bottom.
Yeah.
And you've got the airy top.
Right.
And I feel like I've always been a waxy bottom. Well, you're a bit of a waxy bottom in bed, but like
shaved.
On the show.
I'm not brave enough for a waxing yet.
Are you not?
I can't be on all fours in front of someone and just have it all hanging out. Do you know what I mean?
That's true.
I've got tits at the minute. Give me 6 months, it'll be all right. Do you know what I mean? I'll reconsider. But
I just feel like we're, over the course of the last 6 months, mm-hmm. it's flipping over.
Do you know what it is? I love the way that you speak about movies and the stuff that you bring to the table. And then I go away and I watch my movies and I start thinking, okay, but what if...
Right.
And then I start getting into shit that's sort of loosely related to the movie but feeds into it and honestly gets my fucking balls moist.
Which is funny because I'm doing the same thing the other way. Mm. I listen to our episodes and I go, that's a great point, Rob, but you're not very funny. Whereas Ben's fucking hilarious.
Oh, I like this. This is a nice little dissection. Well, I tell you what, well, that's why Raw, that's why cannibalism now, right?
Okay.
I'm getting into this because A, I'm a little bit jealous of the cannibal in this movie, Justine
right.
and Alexia, because they just accept themselves wholeheartedly with mm-hmm. no question whatsoever, and then will actively throw themselves into traffic to kill people and then eat
okay.
them. They're fine with it. They're good with that. They just are. I want that for me, not to be the cannibal, but to just accept myself and be the person
I
am.
I think, because you used to, I don't think I'm blowing anyone's mind by mm-hmm. saying that in a previous life, you were fond of weed.
Loved it.
Cannabis.
Still miss it.
Cannibal.
Oh.
I think maybe you're just finding, I think your brain's gone. That's
okay.
basically the same.
Yeah, maybe. That could be it. Is this a feminist movie or is it just a human experience movie?
I mean, okay, not to high road you here, because I'm aware you've probably got a big point.
No, I haven't.
All right.
The director does.
Right. Well, it's lovely that she's got thoughts and opinions,
yeah.
but a man's talking. And not to high road you or her.
Sure.
But is there a difference between a feminist and a human movie?
No, that's a great question.
Because it implies that feminists are like cannibals or lesbians.
Dude, you've hit the nail
real.
On the head here. You have not just... only fucking backed up the director Giulio Ducano's point that I'll be making very briefly.
Right.
But also, it's a fucking normal question.
Right.
Like, why do people see female-led movies or female-directed movies as sort of like a softening of the industry? Or it's so nice to have a female touch.
Okay.
And I get this.
In its defense, if you have 100 years of depicting women
sure.
negatively.
100%.
I understand
it's
that we've made a label
air.
Up for the ones that don't.
Exactly.
So it's not necessary, but it's a stepping stone. It comes back to that, like, in an ideal world,
right.
racist jokes would be hilarious because there wouldn't be thousands of years of trauma making
sure.
them not okay, right? But there are thousands of years of trauma
there
making
are.
Them not okay. So in the grand scheme of things, maybe it's just not worth it, right? Because I'll make a joke about a minor difference between you and I.
Sure.
I'll make a joke. I've already made a joke about the minor differences between me and French people.
Yeah.
And those jokes are funny and fine because there's not thousands of years of institutionalized oppression.
I guess. Because we can do like horribly stereotypical
right.
accents of like Italians and right. Irish people.
Exactly.
I mean, Irish people is a bit...
Because we don't have thousands of years... Well, Irish people...
Yeah, you see what I mean?
Irish people, we should stop.
Yeah, yeah, that should not be okay.
Yeah, that's not okay.
But societally...
In an ideal world, mm-hmm. we wouldn't have a term feminist movie.
Yeah.
And in an ideal yeah. world, it would be funny to talk about the cultural differences between different cultures.
Exactly.
It's just with the history that we've had so far...
I get you. I
don't be a dick about it.
I do. I wholeheartedly agree with you. I fully do. So, Seen as Raw has got this sort of like philosophical undertone that means that it exists outside of labels and boxes. Mm-hmm. And it just exists.
Yeah.
It just accepts what it is and lives. And I'm fucking jealous of it. How do you think Julia felt about everyone putting... her as a female director and her film with a female lead in a nice little neatly packaged feminist box.
Well, speaking as a male feminist, I think whatever she said...
is correct.
I said it better.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. Fantastic. Super happy I picked this film. Now I get it. We follow Justine through the first week at vet school with all the experiences that brings, you know, finding herself, understanding her body, sexual awakening... the first bikini wax
mm-hmm.
in extreme close-up,
which is
done by her sister, which is super intimate, but it's the extreme. Yeah, that is a whole other discussion. Very feminine experiences, right?
Yeah, they're all. I've never had my bikini waxed by
exactly.
my sister.
But Julia points out a good point. I'd missed the last bit. I'm looking forward to hearing the episode to find out that punchline. She points out, very fairly so, that the point of the close-up bikini wax is that you see pubic hair being ripped out at such an aggressive sort of like, rip!
Yeah.
That you wince, regardless of what genitals you've got, right? It's
1,000%.
It's a universal fucking,
yeah.
I don't want my pubes ripped out by hot melted candle. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everyone can relate to this. So this is what Julia said about the whole feminist thing. I do believe... that my movies talk to anyone. I don't want to genderize my audience or my movie. This is just another way of putting people in boxes. I'm a woman, yes, I'm a strong woman, and my movie is feminist, but I'm sure that everyone can get it. Now, this is the point in the interview where she gets a little bit upset. She leans forward, she raises her voice. Why does no one say that Scorsese with Leonardo DiCaprio makes movies for men by men?
We do all the time on this show, but fine.
We do on this show, yeah. But generally, no. Of course, women are going to see it. Why would it be different the other way? Why? It's the same way that they do female razors that are pink. It's a fucking razor. Everyone uses it. There's not 300 ways to use a razor. Why would it be pink and cost €1 more? This is terrible. This is exactly what I want to avoid. It's become madness. This is genderizing. They actually sell pink pens for women. Like you have to have a woman's hand to write it. What is that? I really don't want people to do the same with my movie.
Okay.
She was visibly upset at this point, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Which is fine. And now audiences saying it's nice to have a female director. This is Julia again. I've been asked a lot of questions about this by audiences. People are telling me it was nice to have a woman director because it brought softness to the industry. And I was like, have you seen my movie? Did you see it? How can you say that that's soft? I'm not toilet paper. Toilet paper is soft. I'm not soft. And I almost fell in love with her at this point. It was dangerously close to being like,
mm-hmm.
you might be my new hero. You know what I mean?
Okay. She's obviously right.
Yeah.
She's 1,000% right. There's no disagreeing with her. It does sting a little bit being lectured on gender from someone who has French as their first language.
So fucking glad that you said that. I thought you were going to say by a woman and no. I was about to be like, end
no,
the fucking
no, no,
recording.
No, 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 no. Gender doesn't come into it.
Sure.
Except it does because she's a French. And like,
right.
Tables have gender in French.
Oh, the French language.
The French language,
yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah, 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 okay.
Love is a masculine singular, but delight is a feminine plural.
Yeah.
And you're like, you're telling us about razors.
Yeah. Right?
Meanwhile, you're telling me off because I've misgendered the fucking dishwasher.
Lay dishwasher. It's le. Oh, my bad. No, I get it.
She's 1,000% right there.
Now, you messaged me, when you were watching this film, you messaged me very early on and were just sort of like, is there any animal torture in this film? Because I'm aware of what happens in cannibal movies.
Can I explain that for the listener?
Yeah, 100%.
Briefly? I'm all, if I see animals in distress
mm-hmm.
in a film
yeah.
and I know it's simulated,
yeah.
I'm really impressed.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, look at that dog with a job.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Doing an incredible, like,
stunt
get
dog.
Get an Oscar
for
this pupper. If I then find out that it's not simulated,
yeah.
I have no interest in watching that. That's the worst thing you could make, with one of the worst things that you could put in front of my eyes.
Yeah.
And there's no artistic merit to doing
that. There's no joy to be had by anyone.
I understood very little about the film. I just knew that it was European cinema, which can sometimes get a little bit freaky.
Yeah, it can.
Right?
Yeah.
And the film was called Raw. It was about cannibalism.
Yeah.
And then there was a horse that they were doing veterinary stuff on, and I just had to be like, Ben,
yeah,
are we good?
I know. There's a horse that is sedated with ketamine, and I'm here to reassure you, right, that I'm in it. Horse? I'm here to reassure you that no animals are harmed in this film at all.
Good. Fantastic.
And it was filmed in a very clever way. So what happened is, for the horse scene specifically, Julia found a veterinary school where a horse was due to be sedated and go in for an operation.
Mint.
And she was like, hey, can I film it? And just chuck a couple actors in the background. I need it for my film. They were like, of course. So they just threw a couple of the actors in the frame.
Mint.
Got the shot. Of something that was already happening by trained professionals, veterinary like teachers. They were teaching a school. It's all very legit and all very good, right? Cannibal Holocaust has got a famous scene, the turtle scene, where a turtle, a large, very real, very giant turtle.
What, like a Galapagos one?
Not
the big
too,
fucker.
They're big.
Like Elden Ring size.
Not Elden Ring size.
But like
it's big.
The closest that you would see on the earth.
Maybe.
Fuckers.
Yeah.
So they live to like 300, like George's. Yeah. George is my mate. Well, he's not my mate, but like I stan George.
Yeah.
And he's been around for like hundreds of years.
Yeah, isn't he like 180 or something like
that? So, yeah.
Yeah, but so they butcher one of those on camera and it's like it's a real thing and it happens. It's not good and it's not okay.
Can't wait to do that film.
It's not okay. There's a version of it without it in, which is, I think.
Yeah, but if I watch that, I'm being a pussy. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm not watching the film.
I think we watch both. But maybe we'll do the light version first, and then we get into the real one. Because just if you struggle with the light version, then we'll just skip the turtle one.
Yeah, but it
one.
Feels like buying a Switch Lite when Switch 2's out. Do you know what I mean? Like just
it's
go
not
whole
a fun watch either way.
Right,
I'm just
okay.
going to put that one in there.
Okay, fine.
It's not a fun watch.
Right,
but it's a very good watch. It's a well made film. Right, I've got 2 points left to make. They're not big, but they're interesting. So I'm going to speed run them.
I'm going to shut up. And just
I'm
let
just,
you do it.
I'm just going to speed run.
We are already over.
I know, mate. I know. But it's a good payoff for a fun episode about horses asking for breakfast foods. So, De Corno started work. Why Body Horror now? Why Body Horror? That's the title. I'm scrambling.
Yeah,
right?
Go.
Why Body Horror?
Yep.
De Corno started working on this in 2012 as like a bit of a writing challenge. Yeah.
Okay.
She wanted to challenge herself. Could she get us, the audience, to feel empathy for someone who would ordinarily be viewed as a monster.
Right.
Which is fucking genius.
It's a great concept, right?
So she goes on to say, I thought that it was very funny how people tend to qualify as monstrous and inhuman deeds that are actually very human. Cannibalism is part of humanity. Some tribes do it ritually and have no shame in doing it. You have this feeling when you bite someone's arm for fun that you want to go a bit further, but you don't because you have a moral canvas. This thing is in us. We don't just want to see it. So I thought, since my character always feel like monsters deep inside, I wanted the audience to feel like a monster as well and to understand what she's doing, because we're all monsters, really. That point, I fell in love with Julia De Corno. So she's always had a fascination with flesh and the body since her childhood. Her parents are doctors. Her father's a dermatologist. Her mother's a gynecologist. She says that doctors have this very upfront way and sort of distant way of talking about the human body and death.
I mean, I'm just picturing how her parents met. Sorry, one's a dermatologist, the other's a gynecologist.
Mom's a gynecologist.
That was not a meet cute. It could have been. That was a, do you know what this is?
I'm sorry, this fanny's got a rash. You're oh, right. Drinks.
Right. That's very much what I had in my head.
Yeah, sick. Right. That's a meet cute.
Yeah.
Look at this picture. What do you think it is? AIDS. So what's your favorite color? You know what I mean? There you go. Nothing but Riz.
I love the idea that you're Riz. Is what's your favorite color?
Yeah.
It's still.
What is your favorite color?
Come on, bro.
Black.
Red.
Is it actually red?
No, it's black.
I was going to say, red strikes me as like 7-year-old's favorite color. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want a car bed. What color? Red. All right, mate.
Lightning McQueen.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah. Anyway. where the fuck am I up to?
Why is Julia De Corno your new hero? All you've got put
body
there,
horror.
You've
skipped
body
ahead.
Horror.
Stop pushing me ahead. Stop forcing me into the little boxes that society wants you to put me in. All right, let me just be.
All right. You're learning. You're growing.
So they talk about death it's doctors talk about death and life and the body in this weird way. It's very direct, very close up, it's very unflinching. This is all translated through into the movie Raw, right?
Right.
So Julia says, it definitely made me body conscious. This is about her parents being doctors.
Yeah, body doctors.
It definitely made me body conscious, but not in the way that we use that term today. I was aware that my body could mutate in unexpected ways and have autonomy. You haven't decided to have a rash. It's your body doing it. So are you your body or is your body you? And this is the kind of thing I always thought about. What does it mean in terms of identity?
Yeah.
Which is a great fucking thing that she tackles in Raw.
100%.
Justine fucking hits almost all of those nails on the head.
She does, yeah.
Yeah.
She absolutely does.
It's incredible. She wanted to deal with it in a way similar to how David Cronenberg deals with it. She's there because David Cronenberg's very sort of like less is more.
Yeah.
More of the implied stuff, right? Julia goes on to say, I wanted to explore the human condition with a lot of honesty. I could have made this an absolute gore fest. But no, I wanted the audience to feel for her and to understand that it's actually being very human to be like this, which is a great way, very mature way to
handle. I feel like her and Coralie Farjeet need to get together.
They do.
I feel like they just need some mimosas.
Two French directors. I feel like they're both on the fucking precipice.
They're both there going like, bodies are fun, huh?
Yeah, but they're doing it in such a fucking good way as well.
They really are.
Do you know what I mean?
They really fucking are.
Why I might be in love with Julia DeCorno / why Julia DeCorno might be my new favorite person / why is Julia DeCorno my new hero?
Okay.
I couldn't decide on a title.
Those are some long pronouns.
Isn't it? My email sign off just got way longer. researching this movie has been fucking amazing.
Yep.
Admittedly, the books aren't here yet.
But so researching this movie will be amazing.
It's going to get more amazing.
And then if we do
amazing.
Another one of her films in the future, you'll be able to bring it
there. We're going
to
do Titane next.
Oh, we are.
And she's got a new one coming out in August. So we'll revisit her later on. Yes, buddy. Julia's a fucking badass. She is as badass as they come and might be one of my new favorite people. There was an incident at a screening of Raw at the Toronto Film Festival.
Right.
You know those like fucking bollocksy headlines are always like, two people fainted during this film. It's the scariest, most disgusting thing you've ever seen.
It's the number one way to promote a movie.
It is.
If you're doing a horror or something like that, it's just go,
it is.
Someone threw up their whole self.
Someone shit their entire kidney
watching
this film. Do you think you can handle how confrontational
it is.
And that's great for schlock horror that's essentially just stabby, stabby, bloody, bloody on the surface.
Yeah. Eli Roth
and it goes
it.
No deeper than that. I've got stuff for Eli Roth. I'm working on something in the background. There's bits of it. There's more to him.
Right, okay.
Anyway, it's very good for that, right? But it's also fucking awful if you're trying to promote a very delicate horror movie that's presented very real topics of sort of dealing with the body and the self.
It's not how I'd sell the Salt Path.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
So there's this whole thing going on, right? So two people fainted at the screening, ambulances are called, and Julia says, they only told me about it after the Q&A. I went to the green room. My first reaction was, oh my God, are they okay? Because I don't think it's cool that people don't feel good. I don't want that.
Yeah.
And then it became this snowball effect on the internet and I watched it from afar and people were saying all these things that are not true and I couldn't stop it. All of a sudden, the movie became the scariest, most disgusting movie ever made.
Oh.
And I'm like, you haven't even watched the fucking movie. How can you say this? It's not even a horror movie. Even though I love horror movies.
Yep.
It was midnight. These people had watched movies all day long. They probably forgot to eat and they were tired. That's it. There are 1,000 people in that room and two fainted and it's become this. It's fucking madness. And then she was accused of staging the faintings to help promote a movie, which is really, and then she goes on to say, that's really fucking stupid. Why would we do that? This is not the movie. I'm really sick of talking about what happened in Toronto, to be honest. I'm just really sorry for those two people. That's all. The rest is irrelevant. And I can't even sum up how much I fucking admire this woman for just going,
dude,
shut the fuck up.
Why do you think I dated a French?
Watch the fucking film. Stop trying to do this whole weird bullshitty thing of going, it's this, it's that, it's not. It's a fucking film.
Mm-hmm.
Just watch it, mate.
Yeah.
And I,
same thing happened when Old Boy came out. Old Boy came out and there was one person in the UK who was attacked with a hammer. And the Daily Mail was like,
oh, yeah. No,
this
I
film
remember
is responsible
shit.
For a wave of hammer attacks.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, actually, if you look at the data, there are fewer hammer attacks this month than there were last month.
This is how I actually got introduced to Old Boy, because that attack happened and everyone at school was like, it's because of this crazy film.
You're such a fan. You're like,
no,
oh, God,
one of my,
I love hammer attacks.
One, I just, I, If there's one thing I've been missing recently...
Why you first watched Robocop, wasn't it? When we had that whole acid attack phase, you were like, is there a movie that sums
this
up?
Is there a movie that sums up how much I love what's happening right now? Is this just something that I could dive into when there's not an acid attack on my doorstep? Just, you know, just to sort of take the edge off.
Culinary squeezy bottle sales were through the roof that summer.
They were. They were loving life. But that, unfortunately, is it. This is where I'm at. I'm going to ask you the most important question. What did it really mean to you?
Okay, so for me, this is a fantastic film about identity, mm-hmm. change, sexual development.
Yeah.
Possibly, like Garland, mm-hmm. who doesn't provide a definite answer, but provides evocative enough imagery that this could be about drug addiction.
Could be.
This could be about burgeoning sexuality. This could be about puberty.
Could be.
This could be about generational trauma.
Could be.
I think if it's anything, it's generational trauma. The fact that
you are right.
the mum is also a cannibal. Mm-hmm. The dad is like, well, we didn't find a way to deal with this, so we just passed the buck on to you.
Yeah.
And now you're finding all these things, you know. It's not necessarily a secretive about its subtext.
100%.
It's very much like, here's some subtext. And it's a very well shot, very well put together movie that it might just be a victim of me putting it on when I wasn't in the mood for that kind of movie.
Maybe.
Or putting it on when really I just didn't want to watch it. Whatever it was, I was just there being like, yeah, this is fine.
Equally though, even if that is how the film hits you, completely fine. Because not every film has to hit you in the most fucking profound way. Right. Do you know what I mean?
And also, it doesn't detract from how good the film is.
100%.
Like if someone says, is this a good film? I go, oh yeah, it's excellent.
Yeah, great film.
They said, did you enjoy it? I go, it's fine.
Yeah, but that's the dude, the amount of fucking film. Charlie Chaplin, we did a whole fucking Charlie Chaplin series. That's not my cup of tea in the slightest.
Nope.
Did I have a whale of a time doing it? Fuck yeah. Loved it. Loved every second. I've watched a bunch of Chaplin movies since then. Wouldn't say I'm a massive fan, but it's super fun to dip into every now and then.
Every now and again, you just go, that's impressive.
Exactly. That's right? Exactly what it is.
Yeah.
There you go, man.
Look at that. He's done a whole 4 minutes without being inside a teenager.
There you go. Good for you, Charlie. Good for you. I think for me, the subtext was a little bit on the nose, but the way that it's delivered is very delicate and very tentative.
It's very satisfying.
It's a very sort of, everything that you've just said, it could be about a multitude of things.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that sticks with me the most and the thing that hit me as poignantly as it did, and it might be just because where I'm at in my life right now. And
100% is, but that's why films are worthwhile.
Exactly.
Right.
So the whole being self, unapologetically being the self, being aware enough to know that that is yourself.
Yeah.
Accepting changes as they come up. Learning to live with yourself regardless of which direction that takes you. It's all very sort of, it seems juvenile me talking about it as a 36-year-old man, but with like...
Hey man, you get done what you get done when you get it done. 15
years
of
like drug and alcohol abuse behind me, 4 years of sobriety now.
Best time to plant a tree and all that shit.
Do you know what I mean? Like it's I love this film for everything that it made me feel about myself and how reassuring it is to know that I'm not a fucking cannibal, but if I was, I'd be comfortable enough in myself to fucking just go, this is it then. I guess this is it.
Okay. I mean, I'm beginning to see now. I remember you told a story when we covered Trap.
Yeah.
Of going out in the cinema, saying to your mates, oh, I didn't realise the daughter was so fit. And they didn't realise that Lady Raven, the adult pop star in the film.
The 28-year-old singer in the film Trap is M. Night Shyamalan's daughter.
So they just thought you meant
Josh Hartnett's
fictional daughter
in the movie,
who was very much a 10-year-old.
Sure.
And they just rolled with it for about an hour before you then clarified, no, I'm not an aggressive paedophile who's just openly admitting.
Yeah.
But it's nice to hear that if you ever do get those urges, you are just going to roll with them. You just go, well, this is me now.
And we can thank Julia de Corneau for that.
I will. I'll write her specifically and go, it's your fault.
Your fault. This is what happens when we give women a camera. Fucking hell. I hate this.
No, jokes aside, I hear you. And I think it can be a difficult thing when you had spicy childhood.
Yeah.
And I think there are layers to that because everyone goes, oh, it's the spicy bit that's the important bit. It's like, no. The other important bit is that whilst those parental figures are off being spicy, they're not doing the other stuff that parents do about like, hey, kid, it's okay to be X, Y, and Z. Like, it's not just the additional load of the spiciness on the one end of the scale, it's the complete lack of load on the other of scale of like positive parenting, right?
100%. That's in no way anyone's fault though, because obviously if you're...
Of course not.
If the parents are in a situation that they
everyone's
are...
Everyone's doing their
then
best.
They need to fucking like... Exactly. Right? That's what it is.
And
man.
It's all very like, I would love to sit with you for 2 hours and give you life lessons.
Yeah.
But I've got to go and do an 18-hour shift now.
1,000%
right?
That.
So no one's to blame.
No one is to blame.
But what you then end up with is you end up with like getting to 36 and going, I've watched this film and it's really fucking helped.
Yeah.
There's no shame in that, dude.
No, 100%.
Not a fucking 100%.
Drop. 100%. Not shameful in the slightest. It's just an odd thing to talk about when you're watching a 16-year-old do her first week at college. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
From 2 decades in the future.
But
you're
it comes back to the thing I was saying.
If you bring up Skins again, I swear to God, I'm going to burn this fucking place down.
No, I'm going to bring up Annihilation. And that's the themes we were talking there about, like, it's yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it's yourself that's in the way.
Yeah.
What stories are you telling about yourself? I've got a little Patreon thing that I was going to do, but then Brian Wilson died and stole the thunder because mine's also about a dead musician. Maybe I'll do it. Maybe I'll do that next week after the live show.
Do it.
I think it's time.
Yeah.
We are wildly over time.
We are. I'm sorry for this.
I had a really good comment corner from Movies and Manny's on TikTok. I'm going to say no because it's massive.
Let's do it quick. Speed run it. We'll speed run it well quick. Just before we give our all-time rating, we're just gonna dive in to see what you lovely people on the World Wide Web are saying about us, all right?
Yeah.
If you want to get involved, fucking get involved. Right. You know where to find it all. Right. You know what I mean?
So Movies and Manny's mentioned on the reel we put up about Men where our protagonist is screaming in the church. And you mentioned that there's a quote in Corinthians about women not making noise in church.
Yeah.
That they must speak to the holy men outside of it.
Yeah. My Bible arrived yesterday. I'll be able to corroborate that.
Now,
in
Movies
about a week.
And Manny's actually got in touch with a knowledge drop, and they said Corinthians is a letter from Paul to the church in Corinth.
Okay.
It's not from the church, right? So each of Paul's letters were to help the early church with their local issues.
Right.
Whether we'd agree with him now or not. There were loads of female leaders in the wider church community at the time.
Excellent.
So Corinthians doesn't speak about all the churches.
Awesome.
Just Corinth.
Okay.
Personally, I think the screaming in the church scene was about how everyone seems to think there's a time and a place for grief and trauma. Being messy about that stuff makes people uncomfortable. Church is seen as a place of healing, but in reality, you'd be hard pushed to see anyone honestly portraying their brokenness, especially in one of those old, grey, stone churches.
I fucking love that.
Mint, innit?
I fucking love that. Because not only did my Bible arrive yesterday and I've not had a chance to go through it all yet.
You've not read the Bible since it arrived yesterday, Ben.
No.
Such a dyslexic.
I've slept for 3 hours since yesterday.
You dyslexic piece of shit. God, just knock it out in 20 minutes, bro.
That's such a good take on the fucking church scene.
Isn't it?
That's a great take.
Isn't it?
See, this is what I love about these types of films, man. Everything and anything. Because that's exactly right.
Yeah.
And if I watch it now with that in my mind, it make perfect sense. The same way that it makes perfect sense if you're going down the Christianity road or if you're going
Alex
down the
fucking Garland.
Alex fucking Garland, man.
That's Comment Corner this week, gang. We would normally do more, but we are wildly over time. Mm-hmm. But we would hope it's obvious how you can get involved. Maybe hear us dive into your thoughts about the movies we're covering.
Yeah.
Just find us on social media. We're on Instagram, we're on TikTok, we're on Facebook. We're
fucking
all of that.
Everywhere. Drop us an email.
Just get interacting. But Ben, what are you rating Raw?
This is a 9 for me.
Really?
This is a 9. 9.5.
What's the 0.5 it loses?
I've sinned to Tane. I know how good it gets.
Okay. I've not. I'm desperate to.
Okay.
This is an 8 for me.
Nice.
Really good film.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't connect with it, but I'm sure if in 10 years from now,
yep.
I'll rewatch it and I'll go, oh, I was a fucking idiot. This is a mint film.
Incredible.
Right. It's festival time.
Festival's finished, man. This release
comes out on the festival
on the day that we're doing the festival right now as this is going out.
As this has gone out, we are on stage doing a festival thing.
Yeah,
we should really write something for it.
Nah.
Do you know what I love? As it gets closer, I'm like, we'll just freeball it. We'll just improv it because it's either gonna be
an absolute shit show, or
it'll either go incredibly.
It either has gone incredibly.
It's either gone incredibly.
Yeah.
Or it's gone terribly,
yeah.
But it will go so terribly that there'll be some humour in that.
Oh yeah, 100%.
It's just me in a pool of my own piss on the floor.
And me standing above you going, ha, pissy boy.
While you stammer through a page you wrote 20 minutes earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can do this.
Yeah, yeah.
We did do this. And hopefully it went amazing. So thank you everyone that came.
Yay. Thanks everybody.
And thanks for all the praise for it being an incredible show.
Yeah. And sorry that it wasn't.
Sorry it wasn't.
Sorry it was such a terrible show.
We need to cover all bases. The people that got all the stuff from it, you're great. The people that we made cry because of how poignant it all is. Thank you. Feel like we bonded.
And if your grandmother's saying that Ben hit you with her car, she's lying. She has no proof.
But if your grandmother's saying that she flashed me that one time, she's telling the truth.
Yeah, yeah. But that's it.
Them
that's the end of the show. But that's it. That's the end of the show.
Guys, we love you so fucking much. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. It's been an absolute pleasure. I cannot begin to imagine all of the cannibals that are feeling the relief wash over them right now, knowing that they are, in fact, not alone.
100%.
And that there is a vet school in France that will accept you regardless.
We've given them a lot to digest.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
just chew on it.
Just food, chew on it.
Food for thought.
I had a list. I've lost it. I had a list of food-based puns, but...
Do you want a weenie?
Yeah, go on. Go on.
Have a weenie.
Right.
You've got to consume and then consume.
I'm going to consume with a weenie in my mouth. Not for the first time. Right. Thank you for spending an hour of your week with us. We know a lot of you listen on a Monday.
I love that you're doing this with a full mouth.
Yeah, with a weenie in my mouth. Ben's now going to wrap up the thoughts, themes and feelings of this week's episode.
Shall I do this bit with a weenie in my mouth?
Yeah, put the weenie in your mouth. Put the weenie in your mouth. Put the weenie in your mouth.
First,
you keep that too.
But Zin and a weenie.
Yeah.
What is this Friday?
And Ben's going to wrap up the thoughts, themes and feelings of Raw into a Monday motivational pep talk for you.
I got you.
While I just tell you to consume. I ain't got that good lungs. Ready?
Yeah.
Consume.
There's one thing that we can take away from Raw. It's that it doesn't matter if you're a fucking monster deep down. Just be all right with it. Own that shit. You know what I mean? Justine does this thing in the film where she kind of points her fingers outwards a little bit. And then towards the end of the film, she really owns it. And you can see the difference in, like, you know, how she was to how she is. But more than that, she fucks her gay roommate who is obviously, like, really upset about it. I wouldn't recommend going that far. Unless it's like a consensual thing. Who am I to tell you how to live your life? Why does anyone listen to this? Like, it's a Monday motivational thing. Why am I giving you advice? I got a life lesson from a 16-year-old in France at 36.
Living the dream.
Do you want another weenie?
Yeah, go on.
Love you.
Love you, babe.